this is the oral history project, the Hurricane Harvey oral history interview with Mimi Beard. My name is Jeffrey Schaefer. Today is November 16th, 2017, and we're here to discuss Mimi Beard and her experiences with Hurricane Harvey. Okay. So, before Hurricane Harvey, had you ever experienced a hurricane or any sort of natural disaster before?
Not in my grown-up experience. When I was younger, there had been, tropical storms and Hurricane Corpus Christi. The details for that I can't really tell you. I just know at one point my mom had to, like, our car had stalled, and my mom had to carry me, my siblings, and our dog to my grandfather's house. But that's the only memory that I have for that particular one.
And so how long have you lived in the area?
I've lived here most of my life. I was born in 1992 at Spahn Hospital. And then I came back. My mom was in the military, and we moved different places. And I came back in the first grade. And then I've been here, a resident here ever since.
Okay. And do you have family in the area?
Yes, I do. I have my parents. They actually live in my grandparents' house when they moved to Corpus Christi in 1979. And my dad's mother, my abuelita, she lives here as well as two of my uncles. And my great-grandparents live here. And two of my great-uncles and one great-aunt.
Oh, wow, that's a real connection to the area.
Yep.
Okay, so how did you first hear about Hurricane Harvey?
Just on the news. This every year we have hurricane season. And so I heard it on the news. I honestly didn't think anything of it, because every year, my dad, anytime there was a hurricane close by, he'd prep. And so there's been, several years where we've prepped and then nothing happens. So this time around, my dad was like, because, I don't live with my parents, but I still, when it comes to certain things, I still listen to them.
Right.
As should most people.
Right.
And so he was like, it's probably something like last year and the year before, yada, yada. And so that's when I first heard about it. So.
Okay. And as the hurricane came along, how did your feelings toward it change? Like, when did you start feeling anxious or anything like it? What did you?
Honestly, I didn't feel anxious at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just something that happens. It's like, okay, we're in the middle of this, and there's no really any time to think about it. So,
mm-hmm.
Hugo, my boyfriend, he was nervous because he's originally from Dallas, and over there they don't get hurricanes; they get tornadoes,
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuff. So he was a little nervous, and so I had to be the one like, no, it's okay. These things happen all the time, and we had honestly, I think I was a little nervous when. We had made the trip up to my grandparents' ranch, and it was midnight, and I was already tired, so my emotions were already flared. So we watched a live broadcast on the KIII Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking about the different things that were going on, and so that made me very nervous. And when I woke up the next morning, I think it was the next morning, no. 2 days later, after the hurricane had hit, my friend, she called me.
So you decided to evacuate?
Yes.
Okay, and you said you went to your grandfather's ranch?
Yes. I'll kind of tell you like the process, the timeline.
Sure.
So,
go ahead.
We at the Education Service Center where I work, we were going through our strategic plan of making the building or prepping the building for a natural disaster. This was on Thursday the 24th, I believe. I think that's right. So they were going to close ESC 2 that Friday. And so at that whole Thursday while we were prepping, I was like, I don't think we're going to evacuate again. It's just something that happens here quite often. I mean, not actual hurricane, just the prepping. And I honestly, and people, at the time, on those kind of situations tend to overreact to begin with.
Right.
So, you gotta stay calm and kind of work on your best judgment. My friend who lost her husband is a firefighter, and so they get the first response to anything that's going to happen. And
mm-hmm.
so she was kind of telling, keeping me updated with the kinds of things that they were talking about, and that they were even considering putting in a mandatory evacuation to Corpus. So when I heard that, I thought, okay, we probably should. And my parents were also thinking about just going to my grandparents' ranch, which we've done in the past when I was growing up. We'd go to Gonzales, Texas, where they have their ranch, and just kind of wait it out. So I figured I would tag along, and then so we did that on Thursday afternoon. We had to prep as fast as we could. We didn't really have time to put anything on our windows, that kind
okay.
of stuff. So we packed up. I videotaped everything because going back to when I was younger, my dad would always record all of our, just the state of everything. And I remember one year, he made me take pictures of everything in our entertainment room. And my dad's a big collector of anything entertainment, anything media. So just taking pictures. So thinking back to that, I was like, okay,
mm-hmm.
I gotta take pictures of everything. So I did that, and then we finally left Corpus, and from Corpus to Gonzales, Texas, it's about a 2.5 hour drive, and it took us almost 6 hours because of the traffic.
Yeah,
it was terrible. So we got there around midnight, and then we woke up pretty early, said, good morning to my grandparents,
mm-hmm.
and then Ugo and I, we went to Dallas because we saw
mm-hmm.
that the storm was going to hit Gonzales, Texas as
yeah.
well. And so if there was already, because I just told you about
right.
all my family who lives in Corpus, they all went to my grandparents' ranch as well. So we
all
thought,
right.
well, Ugo's parents. His family is in Dallas. We'll go there, and that way there's two less people my grandparents have to worry about.
Right.
So we went there, we got there maybe around lunchtime on Friday, and sure enough, they were Gonzales was hit pretty bad, and a lot of the roads, which are also country roads,
right.
often dirt roads, were all flooded
yeah.
in. So we didn't get rain in Dallas, but I felt like very useless. I mean, I knew if I was in Gonzales, if I was in Corpus, I couldn't do anything
right.
to begin with. But just being somewhere a little bit safer than my again, it was nerve-wracking. So.
Okay. So, yeah, tell me a bit more, like, while the hurricane was hitting, how did you hear about it? How were you updated? What were your impressions of what was going on? Kind of talk about that period before you came back, so why it's happening.
While I was there, I was, again, I was nervous for my family, but again, being with, sorry, that's my alarm. Being with Ugo, who was more nervous than I was, you know, I had to be like, no, it's fine. But the way that I kept updated mostly was KIII Facebook Live broadcasting. That was amazing. Like, I, never followed them until then, when I saw just how quick they were able to get everything so quickly on social media. And it was so cool to see the interaction of people, communicating through that. And it was a really interesting time, too, because, again, I was safe, but people were, messaging me, calling me. I had made friends in Bermuda like a year ago, maybe 2 years,
mm-hmm.
In my archaeological dig.
Oh, wow.
I was in an archaeological dig for two summers, I'm sorry, and I had made friends, and we keep contact on Facebook, and so we have this group message where, like, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, you know, how is it over there? That kind of stuff. So it was interesting that they became aware of that. And I had a friend in Houston, you know, they got it really bad there.
Yes,
so
yes,
she was telling me what was going on over there, that kind of stuff. So a lot of people, you know, and I'm sure it's reoccurring in many stories, a lot of people came together,
mm-hmm.
Made sure everyone was all right.
Okay, so Hurricane Harvey made landfall on about Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So when did y'all make the decision to come back?
That was based on my work. They had given us, well, they didn't give us, but just the way that things had looked and had been in Corpus, and just overall South Texas, they told us that whenever it is safe for us to come back, but they were going to resume work on Wednesday, August 30th. So we came back on Tuesday, the day before, and that was a very long, long drive as well, because of the traffic.
You drove back from Dallas.
Yeah, from Dallas, we went back to Gonzales, because my boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
he had left his car in Gonzales,
right.
And it was going to be easier and cheaper if we took just the one car, my car, to Dallas. So we came back to Gonzales, and we experienced some of the flooding and the muddy country roads. We picked up his car, and then we had to drive back to Corpus. And
besides the flooding, was there much damage in Gonzales? From what you saw, or
from what I saw, it was just a lot of debris. Just, you know, debris everywhere. So.
Okay. And so when you finally made it back to Corpus, what did you see? What were your impressions?
Well, I was very thankful that our a very old apartment was okay, surprisingly. Being an older apartment, I figured there would be some.
Where do you live in town?
On Ennis. In the Shores.
Okay.
So I was, I had seen damage on the roofs,
mm-hmm.
of a lot of other apartments, and even in a complex, there's still, you can see it today, still blue tarps over some of the roofs, but ours was okay. There is no, damage. So I was very surprised. Debris everywhere. In my parents' house, being 35 years old, in that's not, you know, that's not old, but, you know, over time, you know, things happen to houses.
Yeah.
And that was very secure. I think they had, like, minimal damage on their fins, which I think was also very common. So.
Now, did you have any other friends or family that were so significantly impacted by the hurricane?
So, not severely, minor damage, and it was my friend Chantal, who was severely affected. She lost her parents' house, the house that she grew up in. There was a lot of damage in her uncle's house, and then there is another house that was actually a duplex that was being rented out as well that was damaged. So.
Now, in terms of when you resumed work, did the hurricane impact your job at all? Or
yes. Yes.
How so?
Definitely. So, are you familiar with the Education Service Center?
Please explain it.
Okay. So, I work at the Education Service Center Region 2. My job title is Learning Resource Technician, but I do a number of things. I work in distance learning. I do library support. I do education media, and I'm also part of the volunteer committee there. And so the
is that part of CCISD?
No. So at the Education Service Center. Well, let me start up from the top. So there's TEA, the Texas Education Agency. They are an agency that helps students and educators throughout the state of Texas. Supports them in as many ways as they can, in particular, keep up to date with laws and regulations required by the state. Okay, so that's them, and it's headed by the Commissioner of Education, who is currently Mike Maroth.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's also these smaller agencies. They are the education service centers. There's 20 of them, and they're nonprofits. And so there are 20 of them spread across the state of Texas that are in conversation with TEA constantly. And
mm-hmm.
so the education service centers are responsible for those LEAs, school districts, charter schools, any kind of agency of education.
Right.
They are in charge of those areas. And so we are Region 2. And there's quite a few schools that fall under Region 2. So, when we came back, there was definitely conversations about Hurricane Harvey, more frequent when we came back. And as per the Commissioner of Education, Mike Maroth, he said that, Region 2 needed to focus on the affected and displaced students and teachers and just LEAs in general.
Do you have any sort of estimate about how many people were affected?
Not in the top of my head, but my notes. So the main schools, which is also, this is public knowledge, is Port Aransas ISD, Aransas County ISD, Ingleside ISD, Aransas Pass ISD, and Taft ISD. These were the ones that were most affected, to the point where many of them had to rent out portables for their teachers and students. A lot of efforts have been made, whether it be donations, supplies, or monetary, as well as putting on or creating services for these students and educators through the ESCs and the GEA.
Now, what kind of procedures did the agency have prior to, for like for natural disasters in general? Like, how prepared was it for an event like this?
That I am not 100% sure, mostly because I wasn't in those conversations, and I've only been with the service center for a year. So I wouldn't know that for sure, but throughout the whole process, all employees were giving kind of like procedures, strategic procedures, you know, there's stage one, stage two, that kind of stuff. And then, you know, letting us know when we could come back. So that is as much as I could probably give you.
Well, that's fine. Okay, so once you got back to work and you had to start tackling all this stuff, so what programs were you involved with?
So some of the things that I did was distance learning. We do a lot of video conferencing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have like where hundreds of people can attend at a time. And so in my department, we were connecting people across the state, sometimes with the commissioner and our executive director, so they could have these meetings of different things that they can get done. So, you know, I'm not, a lead involved in that, but I was supporting them and connecting them to make sure they could communicate what needed to get done. There's also these other video conferences that are put out by TEA, some of them on Hurricane Harvey and strategies that I, you know, again, would connect. And they also have workshop space and conference spaces at the ESC too. And monthly there's a superintendent meeting, and I helped, you know, AV, with AV equipment and tech support with that, and I also was able to take photographs to document the meetings. So, and also part of the volunteer committee, that's where I've done the most.
Tell me about the volunteer committee.
So, We struggled at the beginning because we wanted to do something. The volunteer committee, you know, meets maybe like once a month to kind of just talk about the things that we're doing in the community, how to get involved. And so after the hurricane, we definitely wanted to do something. And since, you know, it is something that we're already doing with the service center, we wanted to include some of our services that way.
Okay.
So, for example, we were getting a bunch of donations across the United States, just a bunch of donations. Some of them were coming organized, and some of them were just coming in boxes because, you know, everyone knows you need all these school supplies donations as soon as possible. So, you know, we were getting all these things, and we were like, well, what are we going to do? We had many meetings of that. But I ended up taking charge of organizing them. So we would have pallets and pallets. I mean, at one point we had 16 pallets just full, wrapped in saran wrap, just like in a room. October 14th is when I started school supply sorting volunteer opportunities. And so we'd meet twice a week from 4:30 to 5:30. So 4:30 is when we get out of work. So a whole hour right after work on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we would unpack these pallets and we would organize them in this designated room that thankfully we had this empty space that we you could put all this stuff. And so it was really rough because first it's a project where there's just tons and tons and tons of supplies. And you know, people are willing to volunteer, but getting the right time for people to be able to volunteer. And just also be enjoyable because, you know, everyone has good intentions, but if they're not feeling connected or if they're feeling like they're not helping, contributing, then you lose volunteers.
Yeah.
And so I needed to make sure that everyone was always doing something, you know, making sure that everything was prepped before any, so I had, you know, prepped before any volunteers could come in and prep themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, make sure you have really good music to get them pumping or pumped up. And so there have been several times where we thought we were getting somewhere and then we'd have more pallets of stuff come in. And so empty space was just filled up with stuff again. And so and we got a pretty good system going. And I'm very proud to say as of Tuesday, we, so Tuesday the 17th, so November 17th, we were able to sort everything completely. So everything is sorted. Now we are in the process of actually getting the items out to districts and schools and such.
About how many volunteers would you say contributed?
We had a total of eight. We had a total of eight volunteer. No, one, two, three, four. Yeah. So it's been a month. So eight volunteer opportunities, 13 employee volunteers, and it came out to over like 32 hours together.
Wow.
So pretty impressive that we were able to get so much done with that kind of data.
Do you know, did you get any sort of idea of like how much stuff you received? Any sort of broad count?
We have it. I can't think about it on the top of my head, but you know, I am so tired of spiral notebooks. Like, we have so many of them. I could, you know, it would be like, it would be like the greatest day if I had never seen a spiral notebook ever again. So.
So have you begun the process of distributing them?
We are going to start that the Tuesday we come back from Thanksgiving break. So we have all next week off. And so the Tuesday we come back, we're going to start delivering. However, a lot of the schools that had been affected are also been getting donations elsewhere across the United States. So many of them are very overwhelmed with supplies and other kind of donations, especially when they are in portables and their buildings are still being, you know, fixed. So they have all these items that they can't use or don't need at this moment. So we have all these supplies as well that distributing as well, but it probably won't be until the beginning of the next academic year before it's actually in greater need.
Do y'all have any plans in case if you wind up with excess stuff? Do you have like a backup plan?
I don't think we'll have excess stuff only because schools are always in need, students are always in need of supplies. There's also monetary donations. So, you know, there's always a need in something just right now, you know, and that's what happens during a natural disaster is sometimes you get too much of an item and you kind of have to let it, you know, run its course, or you know, let you know, use this. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but you just have to wait until you know everything kind of flows, and then you know continue with it. So I mean, for example, I don't been productive for us to, you know, as soon as we got the items, you know, go ahead and deliver them, and then just pile up for those schools. So having this organized system will better everyone later on in the future.
Are there any sort of activities that your job has been doing? You or your agency have been doing anything else you want to?
Yeah. So also this week was a great week for the volunteer committee. We delivered treats to these teachers at Taft. So a month or so ago, we were given donations of treats to be given to teachers that and staff that were affected by Hurricane Harvey. So we went to Gregory, Portland, Taft, and Aransas County. And so they were just like sweetbreads and pies. Yeah, and so it was really cool because Labatt Food Service donated these items, and we were going to distribute them. And it just the way that it all worked out, it happened the week before Thanksgiving break. So it was really nice, nice how that turned out, you know. So it'd been a long process to get the treats. The treats were left at the CCISD refrigerator at their central kitchen because we didn't have any space. We have like little mini, you know, office refrigerators.
Yeah.
So they had to be shipped there, and then we brought them, and then we had to sort them, and then we distributed them. And we also, you know, created these cards that went along with them, big poster board cards. And there was 15 campuses in all. And so on Monday, we were able to drive to all of these, surprisingly, we were able to drive to all of these campuses and deliver all of the treats.
Oh.
Yeah, and so it was a great eye-opener because, one, you know, you're being told, you know, what's going on with all these schools, you know, them having to kind of settle in portables. And so to actually see that, see, you know, the damage on the buildings, to see how they're trying to, you know, work day to day. And these portables, it's you know, it's really interesting. And Taft ISD was so grateful, especially Taft ISD was very grateful at these for these treats, and it was really cool, you know, like, okay, we were working so hard to do this, and, you know, being appreciated, and them, you know, excited that they get, you know, these treats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were there any particular incidences, either positive or negative, that you encountered in terms of damage or people or stories you heard or gathered?
Really. I know it affected a ton of people, and you know, I'd always see people, you know, crying and feeling so upset. With my personality, I'm more like, you know, it is sad, but we need to do something.
Yeah.
And so being on the volunteer committee, and just being at an entity where we're working, you know, every day to help people who are in need, particularly when Hurricane Harvey hit, that was, I guess, my way of contributing to it, because, you know, that's my way of being sentimental, I guess.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so looking towards the future, if we encounter another hurricane, is there anything you think, either personal or professional, that you think you would do differently or would recommend, or would you do anything different?
Would I do anything different? worried about her houses, and I was like, oh, it'll be okay, it'll be okay. And it ended up not being okay. Just be more active. If someone feels, you know, they have this intuition that, you know, I need to go now, then, you know, be supportive of that.
Any concluding thoughts or remarks?
Nope. I just know that, you know, this hurricane, as well as the other ones, you know, they happen so quickly, but the damage stays for a really long time. So one thing that I would like to, you know, be reminded or let people, or remind people.